I find World Communion Sunday to be an exciting time. I do. I wake up and say, wow, this is special because I'm reminded that although it's not the only time of the year that believers are taking communion by any means, and yet it's special in the sense that we are much aware that believers from across the planet are also partaking of the bread and the cup today. Some already have because of the time zones and all of that. But anyway, before we actually participate, though, I would like to share a brief meditation on the Christian church. And I'd like us to think this morning about the fact that the Christian church is a spiritual entity. The Christian church is a called out entity. The Christian church is a worldwide entity. And the Christian church is an entity that is loved and cherished by the Lord, which is really special in and of itself. But first of all, Christian church is a spiritual entity. When he was writing to the believers at Ephesus, here's what the Apostle Paul had to say, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. isn't that neat? Now, if we think of the church only in terms of an organization, we've missed the point. Now, the local church is organized that we might do things decently and in order. There is structure that we might fulfill our purpose as a local assembly, but it is much more than an organization. And if we think of the church only in the sense of being a denomination, if you will, we've also missed the point. Being a part of a conference or a network of local churches can be helpful in the sense that, generally speaking, we can do more together than we can do on our own. For example, having Eastern Mennonite Missions as an agency of LMC helps us to reach out to parts of the world and make a difference through our giving and through our praying that would not be accomplished otherwise. But the church is not just an organization, it's not just a denomination. The church is first and foremost a spiritual entity. It is the body of Christ. It is a living organism that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is a people that have been baptized into Christ. It is those that have true faith in the Lord. It is that group of people who were called to follow Jesus. And I realize that there are a lot of service clubs and organizations and associations that do a lot of good things. They help people and so on. And I don't want to diminish that. But none of them compares to the church. The church is a spiritual entity. It is unique. Secondly, the Christian church is a called out entity. I'd like us now to see what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Actually, I had to think about that Friday night. We couldn't get home because the road was blocked, and then we went a different way, and we came home, and I said, Diane, I bet you the power is going to be out, and sure enough, it was. And it was dark at our house. Well, we had a little kerosene lamp we lit, but I thought about that. You know, we take it for granted, but when the lights come back on, it's wow. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, But now are the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Those of us that participate in the communion this morning would do well to remember this matter of being called out of darkness into God's marvelous light, and the fact that it is through Jesus that we have received mercy. Has it occurred to you that mercy and grace are unique to the Christian faith? That in other world religions, there is an emphasis on what man can do or ought to do for God. And yet in Christianity, the emphasis is on what God has done for mankind, for people like you and I, through Jesus Christ. And what he will do as we turn to him by faith. During Saul's encounter on the road to Damascus, this came through in a powerful way. Saul had been persecuting Christians, and there he was. And all of a sudden, there was this light from heaven that shone around him. It was brighter than the noonday sun, the scriptures tell us. And then there was a voice that said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the response was, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." But that wasn't all that was said. According to Acts 26:16-18, Jesus said this, "But rise and stand to your feet, for I have appeared to you for a purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Now, our conversion may not have been as dramatic as it was for Saul. But the fact of the matter is, being called out of darkness into God's marvelous light was just as real. And the matter of having obtained mercy, just as profound. Thirdly, the Christian church is a worldwide entity. This is spoken of just in a very special way in Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. Revelation 5, verse 8. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation.'" Actually, the sentence continues, verse 10, "And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Now, this speaks of Jesus redeeming people by his blood. As Robert Lowry put it in his song, his hymn, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." We have to think about that as we partake of the cup this morning. But on this World Communion Sunday, we also have to think of the fact that redemption isn't just for us, but that people have been redeemed and are, who are celebrating as we are in many countries around the world. Think about it. There are people gathering in places near and far, some in beautiful, elaborate kind of buildings, some under thatched roofs. some in great crowds, mega churches, some in small groups, some very openly, like we are this morning, some in relative secret because of the reality of persecution. There are many people praising the Lord in many different languages, in many different places. But those that are saying and singing the alleluias, they're part of the worldwide body of Christ. The church, the Christian church, is a worldwide entity. Fourth, the Christian church is an entity that is loved and cherished by the Lord. And I'm turning back again to Ephesians, but this time to chapter 5, verses 25 to 30. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Now, marriage is an intimate relationship. It bonds a man and a woman together in a variety of ways. It does so, it bonds them together emotionally, it bonds them together physically, and it bonds them together spiritually. The husband is to love his wife in a way that mirrors the way Jesus loved us and continues to relate to us. And it's fitting to turn to this particular passage when talking about marriage, husbands and wives. But boy, it is also fitting to turn to this passage when we are thinking about Christ and the church. And I especially wanted us to note in verse 25 how Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And in verse 29, how the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church. I ran across a little comment in Spurgeon's Study Bible. Wonder what you think about this quote. This love of Christ is the most amazing thing under heaven, if not in heaven itself. Love between mortal and mortal is natural and comprehensible, but love between the infinite God and us poor, sinful, finite creatures, though conceivable in one sense, is utterly inconceivable in another sense. Who can grasp such an idea? Who can fully understand it? This is the miracle of miracles. Well, those of us that partake of the Lord's Supper should do so with a deep awareness that we are in a relationship with the Lord, not because of our goodness, not because of our works, not because of we're so lovely, not because we've always lived up to our calling as followers of Jesus. We partake of the Lord's Supper because we have been reconciled to God through that which Christ did in our behalf. It is exactly as the scriptures put it. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son into the world to be the propitiation for our sins. So it's only because of what God did for us, of what he initiated, that we even have an understanding of what it means to be loved, what it means to be redeemed, what it means to be a part of the church. Yes, the Christian church, it's a spiritual entity. It's a called out entity. It's a worldwide entity. But let's not forget that it's an entity that is loved and is nourished and cherished by the Lord of the church. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we praise you today and are just so amazed at all of this. On the one hand, so simple, on the other hand, so profound. Lord, may we continue to be deeply aware of what you have done for us as we continue on in this service to, in a little bit, if we are indeed in you, right with you, to partake of the communion. In Jesus' name, amen.